down to the last minute and 45 seconds, and one team will be one score or less behind, and they're going to be thinking, the coach is going to pull them in the huddle and go, listen, if we don't fumble, if we can get down the field without an interception, we could win this game. What do you build? Hope. Process. We can do this. And they're going to march down the field and do the best they can to score and to win the game. But today, I'm hoping that we get to define hope a little bit. Because we in this world will base our hope on almost anything that benefits us. Almost anything that we think, hey, this is going to make tomorrow better. Again, not a bad thought. I think that's something that's stuck inside us. It's just, where do we get that hope? What hope are we hoping for or hoping in? Webster's, they define hope as this: to cherish a desire with anticipation. Desire accompanied by expectation of a fulfillment. I have a desire and I expect it's going to be fulfilled. That's hope, according to Webster. And you know, we love to have motivation, and hope is that motivation a lot of times. That thing that gets us moving, keeps us moving. We stop looking behind and we look ahead and we go, tomorrow's going to be better. It's going to be a better day down the road. So hope motivates. Today, as we get into the Bible here, we're going to look again at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We're going to see Peter, we're going to see his hope. And because of the hope he has, he is actually going to confront Jesus. He is going to say some very surprising things, do some very surprising things to Jesus. Let's look at it. Mark 8, 31. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later he would rise from the dead. Wow, that doesn't sound all that bad, does it? Or does it? Like, Peter's standing there and he's hearing this, and he has just witnessed Jesus heal a blind man just moments before. And maybe a few days before that, he had just watched Jesus take a couple of fish and some bread and feed 4,000 people. Jesus' ministry is exploding. He can't go from town to town without an entourage of people coming and just getting in there close to him. He can't just go over to McDonald's and sit down and have a burger. He can't. There's too many people. They crowd him the whole time. And he's got this ministry that's flourishing. And then instead of saying, hey, you know what? We're going to go to Jerusalem and this is just going to poof, explode. He goes, hey, I want you guys to know that I'm going to die soon. What? What do you mean you're going to die soon? So here's the next one, 32. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside. Hey, Jesus, come here for a second. For saying such things. You know, Jesus, I just, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I know you're Messiah. Like, just a few minutes ago, you asked me who I thought you were and who other people thought you were, and I said, you're the Messiah, you're the anointed one, you're the king of Israel, you're the one who is going to just demolish the Romans, and you're going to take us out of slavery to other nations, you're going to make us the best nation ever, so you can't die. I'm sorry, but man, what I'm hoping for you're going to do, if this doesn't work. See, the Jews had this understanding that, and it was a true and a right understanding that Messiah, the anointed one of God, was to come and rule and reign in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was no longer allowed to be stepped on by another nation. And at this point in history, Israel is being stepped on daily by the Romans. Pay taxes, obey our laws. You can't do anything you want in your land. We have rule. They had to listen to Nero, who ends up being a crazy guy, killing people left and right. They weren't not their own. So Jesus has come on the scene and he says, I am the King of Kings. I am the Son of Man. I am the one, the anointed one. And Peter's like, you are the anointed one. Like, this is our hope. When you become king, we are no longer slaves. We are going to be the best nation, the highest nation on the planet. And you can see why Peter will pull Jesus aside and say, Jesus, this can't be. You're Messiah. You know, and sometimes I think we're like Peter. We misplace our hope. We hope for all these temporary things that help us right here and now. And they're not bad things. What Peter was hoping and was placing all his hope in Jesus to do was a good thing. It benefited many, many people. But it was temporary. Peter would no longer have to pay taxes to Rome. Peter could walk around in his own country free. He doesn't have to worry about the Roman guard going, here, carry my stuff for a mile. That was law. So they could pick any one of you, no matter your physical condition, no matter your age, and say, here's all my 90 pounds of equipment, carry it the next mile. And you could not say no. But they would be freed of all that stuff. They'd be freed of the oppression that Rome brought. So Peter's like, Jesus, this can't be. This can't be. Peter, at this point, he's looking at good things. He's hoping for things that benefit. But he's misplaced that hope. He's put this hope on the immediate and the temporary. But what happens when hope is gone? 33. Jesus turned around, standing here with Peter. He turns around and he looks and he sees the disciples. And he says to Peter, get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God. And that's what Peter is doing. He's looking at this human point of view. He's looking at his current circumstances only. And he's hoping that Jesus is going to be king to fulfill it. Temporary. How often do we do the same thing? This misplaced hope that leads to our hope being stolen from us. When you get paid, if you get paid on Fridays, Thursdays, Fridays, whatever, how long does that stay in your pocket? Like, yeah, I got paid. Sweet. And you're like, I can go to McDonald's if you eat McDonald's. I can go to McDonald's for lunch. Woo. And then the next day you're like, how much was McDonald's? This is ridiculous. Like, where did my money go? How long does it last? Or our health. We know the cold season is coming upon us, and there's been signs in the different stores about get your free flu shot here now. Why? Because health is fleeting. And how long does our life last? With all the efforts we put in nowadays with trying to be healthy and trying to do these things, none of which are bad, they're beneficial, but how long does it last? We know Scripture says that it's appointed for man once to die. We're all going to die at some point. I don't mean to be morbid, but let's think for a minute. What are we hoping in? Are we misplacing our hope? Because when we do, If we misplace our hope and we put it in the temporary things, a job, a position, finances, a house, a car. You know, by the way, if you paid $65,000 for your car or you paid $5,000 for your car, they both rust. Yeah, sorry. And you'll need a new one. That's the world we live in. You know, sometimes I wonder if we forget. I wonder if we forget what this says about this world. This book says in Genesis chapter 3 that we, from the moment Adam and Eve chose sin and they chose to rebel from our Creator, it says that we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world that will burn. So where do we put our hope? Stuff that's going to burn? Stuff that's temporary? Or is there something else we could put our hope in? Is there some other hope that we have offered to us that's not temporary, that won't just be destroyed by a moth or by rust or by time? Because see, when we lose hope, we lose vision, we step into depression. And our situations of circumstances are real. Some of us in here today are really, we're sitting here and we're thinking, I'm not even sure why I'm here. My life is hopeless right now. My situation is hopeless right now. And so the question we have to ask is, what are we hoping for? Where do we put our hope? Because when hope is lost, it leads to despair. And if we find ourselves there, we should ask ourselves the question, what am I hoping in? Because the world around us, as you guys know, hopes, hey, there's your phone's not working right. Hey, guess what? Just in time, the 11's out. Hey, just in time, the 11's are not working anymore. Just in time, the 14's out, or whatever is going to come next. I mean, right? It continues to do that for us. We continue to go, well, if that hope didn't work, sorry. But you know what? We have a better hope for you. Or we have another hope for you. Just keep hoping in these things that are going to rust. They're going to fall apart. They're going to become obsolete. And Jesus here in the next section is going to explain what happens when we put our hope in the world. If all we do is hope for the here and now, hope for our temporary things to be fixed, he's going to say that it's worthless, that it's empty, that we really are going to end up in despair and depression, and we're going to miss true hope. So Jesus here in verse 34, he begins to talk about what real hope is. Then calling the crowd to join the disciples. So the disciples are here, and he just told Peter to stop acting like Satan. Stop being an adversary. You say you want to join me and you want to be with me, Peter, and you want the world to know me, but Peter, you're acting as if Satan, you're acting in this opposition. And then he calls the whole crowd to them to say this to them. If any of you wants to be my follower. And I love that, because you know what that does? That puts the ownership on us. You and me, we get to choose. What are we going to choose? It's up to us. If you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Verse 35. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. See, Jesus here, he is telling them that there's something more. He's saying, if you're going to hang on to what you think life is, where you think hope really lies, you're going to lose life. You won't get to enjoy the life that God has planned for his creation. He says you'll actually lose it. But, if you're willing to step out of what you think is right, Peter, remember, Peter's only looking from a human point of view. If you step out of that and you start thinking like God thinks, then, you will save your life. Hope is in a person. Real hope is in a person. Next, 36. And then he asks this. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Next. Is anything worth more than your soul? Just going to let that, read that again. See, we are encouraged in this world, in our country especially, to put our hope in something that is provided and that is temporary, something that is going to be destroyed. It's going to rust. It's going to fall apart. It's going to be divided. You know, a lot of times we think this group of people have all the answers, so I'm going to align myself with them. And then other of us think, no. This group of people have all the answers, and I'm going to align myself with them. And the problem is, maybe we've misplaced our hope. Maybe we're not thinking thoughts after God. Maybe we are looking at it completely from a human point of view. Because Jesus says, hey, if for my sake you lose your life, you're actually going to gain it. So what Jesus is saying is, if you will join me, if you'll believe in me, you're going to have life. And you'll have it abundantly. You'll have hope. And so, how much is your soul worth? Because what this says, by the way, without saying, is your soul's eternal. Your soul, you, lasts forever. So, if your soul lasts forever and everything else doesn't, what are you hoping in? What if you gained everything on your bucket list? What if you actually got to do and have everything you have ever wished on this earth? Woo! Yes! But we all know that stuff is limited. It doesn't really fit. It doesn't really fix. It does. There's something inside us that says, no, this should be better. There's something more. Verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me, Jesus says, and my message in this adulterous and sin, in these adulterous and sinful days. So Jesus' message, by the way, is that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who will die, be buried, and be raised. So if we're ashamed of that message, in other words, we don't believe him, then the Son of Man, Jesus, will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. Read that last part again. Jesus is going to return in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. There should be an amen there somewhere. He's coming back. Like, that is hope. This guy who is promised to be the king who died but was raised to new life is now in heaven with the Father waiting to come back here. And when he comes, he's not coming as a baby this time. He's coming in the full glory of his Father with a whole bunch of angels. It's going to be awesome. The question is that what we're hoping in? Or do we have hope in something else? Are we hoping in our Creator to return for us and to then give us everything he's promised? To take death away? To take sadness away? To fix our bodies so they don't die, they don't fall apart. See, hope, real hope is this. It's ultimately based upon, not upon, our own abilities. Hope is not based upon our own abilities to maintain confidence in something. It's just not. It's based on the faithfulness of God. And where do you see the faithfulness of God? We see it in our lives, but boy, do we see it in here. Getting into the Word of God to see God's faithfulness builds that hope in us. Jesus told Peter that he was strictly living from a human point of view, and Peter was hoping that he would, all his temporary problems would be solved. But Jesus, God, our Creator, had a greater plan than just fixing your slavery to Rome. Not that that was a light thing. It was terrible. But what if God's plan was greater than just helping Israel? What if God's plan was to save everyone who hears and believes the message of Jesus? And so Jesus had to die. Still the Messiah, still the one that God had said would be king, and he will be king, and he is king. And he is coming back. Sometimes we take and place our hope in things that are so temporary. So temporary. How long is eternity? Right, like, I have no idea. Like, does it end? No. According to the Bible, it is ongoing forever, which we have a hard time comprehending, right? How long is a life, a human life? It varies, right? There's a few people living into their hundreds. So where do you think our hope should be? What should we be hoping in? So John, what's the deal though? Because like, I'm really going through some hard stuff right now. I'm sure you are. And I'm sure life is rough. And it's not what it's supposed to be. We live in a fallen world. But you know what? God has something for us that is greater. And I'm not downplaying our struggles and our needs and the bills we have to pay at all. But may that be from a human point of view and not from God's view? Because if you're living, if I'm living with this hope that one day all this junk is going to be over, well, then there's some joy in my struggles. There's some laughter in my pain. There's a smile in my sadness. There's hope in my hopelessness. And we get to share that with others. This hope that we have in Peter's first letter to some Christians that were going through some really, really hard persecution, stuff we don't even know about, stuff we don't even recognize. When he was writing to them, he says this to them. He says, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for the hope that you have." See, the hope that God has given us doesn't pick us up and put us into our best life now. It doesn't pick us up and take us out of our struggles. It gives us real hope in the struggle. Real hope. And the people that watch you go through your problems get to see real hope. Or do they? I know people don't always see real hope in my life. But they can, if I'm thinking God's thoughts and not looking at it just from a human point of view. What are you hoping in? Because hope is not a thing or a time. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. God sent him to pay our sin penalty that we all deserve to pay. He paid it on a cross for free. You did nothing. All he says we need to do is believe. And now we have real hope. Hope that cannot be destroyed or destroy us. Nothing in this world can destroy us. We have hope. And we get to share that hope as we go through our struggles. Because we have them. They're real. You can't, there's no way to get away from them. We live in a fallen world. So I hope that we today will stop thinking from a human point of view only. And we'll start thinking thoughts after God. We'll look at what God says, where real hope comes from. And it comes from Christ. Peter hoped that his circumstances would change, that they would be better. But God's plan was not only to give him hope, but to give hope to others as well. Hope to us. And we have it. And now in our circumstances, in our struggles, that hope we can share with other people. And today, if as I'm talking, you're like, man, this Jesus, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't understand what you mean. It sounds weird, or it sounds maybe right. I'm going to be up here as we sing the last song. I'm going to be up here at the cross. And I think Donna's going to join me up here. If you would like to just hear more, to understand more of what Jesus has done for us. True hope is a person. Or if this morning, like, life is just being rough and it's smacking you down, and you're losing hope and you're falling into depression and you want to seek God's hope in your circumstances, then come up to the cross over here. And we'll pray and we'll talk and we'll trust God together for what he has for you. Let me pray as the worship team comes up. Father, you are absolutely beyond all measure, anything. I can't even imagine you apart from your word, apart from what you have said and who you said you are. Your plan for grace to just be thrown on us, for us to drown in your grace, to drown in just the provision of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And God, this hope that you have given us is real. Jesus said, and he doesn't lie, he said, I'm going to come back in the glory of the Father with my holy angels. He's coming back. God, that is our hope. He is alive. And God, we want to think thoughts after you. We praise you. We look for you to give us hope within our circumstances. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.